the next chapter, which will learn is about precepts, and this is pretty difficult one. So before we study how to recite it, I want to explain it beforehand. The precepts observation is very important for Zen practice. If we eat too much, we cannot sit. If we do not have enough sleep, we cannot sit. So you are physically and mentally, you have to adjust your diet so that you can sit. This is very important point. Then our Buddhism is actually the way of life, and way of life is the precepts. To live is how to observe precepts. It is not some rules of 16 or 250 or 500. There must be innumerable number of precepts. And so it is necessary for us to have full understanding of precepts and to make effort to observe precepts. So whenever a great Zen master or a religious hero appears, precepts observation is emphasized by him. Or before someone appears, some great teacher appears, precepts observation always have been emphasized by many precedent masters. Before Dogen, there were several famous masters who emphasized precepts. Next, we should deeply respect the three treasures, the Buddha, the teaching, and the Buddhist community. In a fair way or adversity, they deserve our respect. Excuse me, it may be better to put in this way. We should yearn to respect them and make offering to them in fair way or adversity. This is a literal translation. But here it says, they deserve our respect and offering. No matter where we wander from life to life, so this is more maybe advanced, maybe not bitter, but it takes this express the meaning, what he meant. We should yearn to respect them and make offering to them in fair way or adversity. It was respect for Buddha, for the Buddha, the teaching and the Buddhist community that was truly transmitted from India to China by the Buddha and patriarchs. Buddha and Sangha, the Buddha and the Sangha, and then Buddhist community is also precept observation. You know, those are how we practice Buddhism. So how we practice Buddhism is to keep our precepts. It is precepts, is not just prohibitory precepts. We have three refuges and three collective precepts and ten prohibitory precepts. This is the three of the 16 of Soto precepts or non-precepts. The three treasures it has should be will be understood in three ways. The manifested three treasures. The Supreme, his Dhamma, and his Sangha. This is manifested treasures. Manifested three treasures and maintaining three treasures, Buddha's images, sutras and priests. Those are called maintaining three treasures. And one body, three treasures. Essential Buddha, low body of Buddha, the harmonious body of Buddha. This is more philosophical understanding of three treasures. Anyway, we have to take refuges in three treasures as long as we are Buddhist. And then it says, if the unfortunate and virtuous cannot even here to the three treasures, how can they make refuge in them. Do not take refuge in the spirits of the mountains or the ghosts of the dead, and worship not at heretical shrines. Such refugees seeking lead us away from salvation. Let us instead quickly take refuge in the Buddha, the teaching, and the Buddhist community, seeking there not only release from pain, but complete enlightenment. When we observe our precepts, may I ask you, with what mind do you observe precepts? This kind of story is everywhere in Zen koan. With what mind do you observe those precepts? This is a kind of tricky question. With what mind? If you say, with this mind, with this kind of mind, we observe precepts, then it means your mind is separated from the observation of the precepts. Precepts is there, and you are here, your mind is here. That is dualistic understanding. It's the same thing will happen if you practice Zazen with your mind. Same misunderstanding will happen to you. Zen practice is a practice which happens within your mind, within your deep mind. Precepts observation is how our life goes in its true sense. That is a precepts observation. Precepts, your life goes in that way, automatically. That is precept observation. So, if you think the precept is some particular rules which was set by Buddha, that is wrong understanding. Precept is the way of life. Recorded by tape recorder. Or printed by film. What is precepts? If you take a record of someone's speech, it will say something, moment after moment. That is precepts. So, if you say printed, a narrative is precepts, that is wrong understanding. A recorded voice is precepts, that is wrong understanding. What I am saying, what I am doing, whatever it is, that is precepts. So as a Buddhist, it is quite natural for them to observe, respect Buddha, or take refuge in Buddha and Dhamma and his Sangha. In this way, precepts should be observed. In other words, it is sincere effort to to make your life meaningful. This is precepts observation in its true sense. Do not take refuge in the spirits of mountains or ghosts of the dead, and worship not the hateful shrines, because hateful understanding, according to hateful understanding, we take refuge in something, you know, which is different from yourself. That is ethical understanding. That is not our understanding. According to our understanding, everything is within our mind. Our mind includes everything. And in our mind, many things will take place. So, when we do not rule this mind, whatever happens to us, that is precept observation. When we are caught by dualistic or something objective, existence or idea, objective existence, and worship them, that is helpful understanding. So the spirit of the mountain or course of the day, and to worship helpful shrine is not our way of observing precepts. Such refuge seeking leads us away from salvation. Let us instead quickly take refuge in the Buddha, the teaching, and the Buddhist community, thinking they are not only release from pain, but complete enlightenment, to complete enlightenment. When we have enlightenment, many things happen within enlightenment, within big mind. In this case, we call it, we call our activity precepts observation. To take refuge in the three treasures, we must come with pure heart or face. To take refuge in the three treasures, we must come with pure face. no matter when or whether, at the time of the Buddha's appearance in the world or after his disappearance, we repeat with clasped hands and bowed head. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the teaching. I take refuge in the Buddhist community. I take refuge in the Buddha because he is our great teacher. I take refuge in the teaching because of it. Curative effect. I take refuge in the Buddhist community because here we find wisdom and warmth. To become followers of Buddhism, we must uphold the three treasures. We must lay his foundation before receiving them, moral precepts. Before the observation of moral precepts, we have to take three refuges. And this is those observation of taking refuge in the Buddha and the teaching and his teaching and his community is included in the 16 precepts. The merit of spiritual refuge will always ripen when responsible communion takes place between the trainee and the Buddha. Those who experience this communion Veda Deva, dwellers in hell and animals or animals, will take this refuge. The embodied merit increases through the various stage of existence and ultimately leads to the highest light enlightenment. Buddha himself confirmed the merit of the triple treasures as supremely valuable and inconceivably profound. All living beings should therefore take this refuge. The next we should accept the three corrective pure precepts that embracing good deeds and embracing all being and saving them. We should then accept the 10 great prohibitions. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not lie, do not sell liquor, do not bring up the faults of others, do not boast and blame others, do not withhold material and spiritual position. Do not become angry, do not debate the triple pleasure. Those are ten practical precepts. Do not kill. It is not, those rules is not man-made, is not supposed to be man-made precepts. Like social rules, or customs, or rules, of some special country. It is something more than that. It is not man-made one, but based on the truth, a universal truth of universe. If so, it does not just mean not to kill. In strictly speaking, we cannot kill anything. You think you can do it, but it is impossible. When we realize this, we will not kill anything. We will not try to kill anything, because it is impossible. Now this is one way of observation. Observing the precepts. Do not kill. So do not kill is not just a matter of forcing something to others, or empower a person to do something, or formality observation. It is not. It is something more than that. If you realize this fact, that you cannot kill anything, then you will be free from dualistic activity of killing or not killing. So do not kill means to extend our life activity, or our life. Do not kill means sometimes lazy attitude, you know, lazy way of life. When you are lazy, or when you are not sincere enough in your practice, you are killing. Do that. Buddha will not manifest itself. You are keeping Buddha within yourself without doing anything. That is actually to kill Buddha, or to kill something. Not to kill means to do something with sincerity. That is fundamental way of observing precepts. So precept observation is to do something with your utmost effort. So precept observation is to do something with your utmost effort. That is how you observe those 10 prohibitory precepts. So negative precepts and positive precept observation is not different. This is the most important precept. Do not steal. When you find out you cannot kill anything, how is it possible to steal something from others? When you have everything, there is no need to steal something from others. When you have no idea of others, when you understand your life, something which is happening, which happens within your mind, it is not possible to steal anything. That is actually a practice of Zazen. When you practice Zazen, you practice Zazen with deep mind. The mind which is not matter of big or small. With your true mind. That is our practice of Zazen. So, the practice of Zazen is not different from from observation of the precepts. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. You will not attach to what you do within your capacity. When you think, when you have some object of adultery, you think you can, you commit adultery. But when when you do as if you your eyes blinks. that is not adultery. There is no need to be caught by some unchaste act. Do not lie. You cannot tell lies. Whatever you do, it expresses your true nature. So you cannot sell that. Do not sell liquor, or you may say drugs. Liquor means something, you know, some intoxicating medicine or intoxicating teaching. Those are liquor. Even the Buddha's teaching, even Buddha's teaching, if you sell it, that is liquor. If you are caught by it,
that is Rika.
So not only wine or drugs, but also you should not sell anything. Do you understand? You should not sell. It should be your life in its true sense. And this is a very important precept for us, and subtle understanding is necessary. We call, Japanese people call sake, do you know sake? Japanese wine made from rice. We make Japanese wine from rice. That is another name for sake is best medicine of all the medicine. If you do not intoxicated by it, if you take if you do not take too much, that is the medicine of all. But when you are intoxicated, that is sake, which you should not take or sell. We say, sir, this is very subtle. Don't take is not, you know, advocating that. Don't sir means when you yourself intoxicate by something, you know, by some gaining idea to make profit from it. Or you are, when you are caught by something, you will try to sell to others. Buddhism is so wonderful teaching. Why don't you join us? At that time, you are already somehow intoxicated, dying. So don't sell is very subtle expression. But it means also do not take it. But even though you can take it, if you do not caught by it, you can do it. But the precept observation, why we emphasize a precept observation, is it will protect yourself from bad habits. Precept will protect yourself. As human nature, it has some weak points, so many weak points we have. So it is necessary for Buddha to protect us from evil habits by setting up some rules for us. But if we are alert enough, we should take care of ourselves with alertness, not to fall into the pithole of human nature. We have many dangers in our life, and sometimes we know and sometimes we do not know. So it is necessary for us to have some rules to protect ourselves. And actually, precept observation is a difficult way, but actually it is easy way. No. Not difficult way is to behave like a Buddhist without precepts, without any rules. This is very difficult. But if we have some precepts, it is easy for us to observe our way. How do you think? Do you think this is just, you know, some good explanation of precepts? It is not so. When I was young, I wanted to remain celibacy. You know, I wanted to, I didn't want to get married because I know myself so much. I knew what will happen to me if I get married. So I thought, I am not so, you know, good. I know pretty well. So I thought it may be easier to remain alone, to be a Buddhist. This is easy way. But some people may think to get married, to remain Buddhist, may be easier because his wife will help him. It may be easier. Yes, in some way it is easy. But it makes him more difficult, more difficult to be a good priest. So, precept observation is very, we should be very grateful to the precept. It is mercy of the Buddha. If you think the precepts will be a bandage for your life, precept is the rules of your life, that is a big misunderstanding. It means your effort is that you are not sincere enough. You don't know yourself, and you do not make your effort enough to be a Buddhist. When you become Buddhist, you will find the true meaning of God's precept. So, the Buddhism is not some marriage or some philosophy, something to talk about. Buddhism is for yourself. And to study Buddhism is to help you yourself in its true sense. So, all the teaching is just within yourself, not without. The spirit that started Buddhism is the spirit to serve everything as your own problem. That is how to study Buddhism, as Dongyen Zen said. To study Buddhism is to study yourself. From beginning to end, it is study of our life. No one help you. If you expect someone's help, it means you lost your spirit. And you lost your true mind. The Buddha have received and kept the Triple Refuge, the three collective pure precepts and the ten great traditions. The Buddha have received and kept the Triple Refuge and the three collective pure precepts and then the ten great traditions. To transmit Buddhism is to receive transmission. Means to become successor of a Buddhist. So succession of Buddhist life is through the food transmission. So, of course, to receive transmission is to receive Triple refuge, the three collective pure precepts and the ten great traditions. By accepting the precepts, you will attain supreme enlightenment. The indestructible Buddhahood realized or to be realized by the Buddha of the past, present and future. Would any wise man reject this goal? To all living beings, the Buddhas have shown that when they accept the moral precept, they attain Buddhahood. The rank equal to the great enlightenment. And that they are truly the children of the Buddha. When you become successor of Buddha's life, you are children of Buddha. All the Buddhas dwell here and embrace everything in their infinite wisdom. All the Buddhas dwell here and embrace everything in their infinite wisdom. All the Buddhas is in your life, in its process, should be within your life. If so, within your life, there should be precepts. And that is, at the same time, practice of Zazen. When all beings dwell here and embrace everything in their infinite use, see no distinction between subject and object. When this happens, all things, whether earth, vegetation, fence post, brick or pebbles, take glance of the Buddha. The resulting wind and fire, fanned by the profound influence of the Buddha, drive us to intimate enlightenment. This is the merit of non-doing and non-striving, the awakening of the wisdom mind. This is, description of our life as a Buddhist. All the Buddhas dwell here and embrace everything in their infinite use. When all things dwell here and embrace everything in their infinite use, see no distinction between subject and object. When this happens, all things, whether as vegetation, fence post, brick or pebbles, take grace of the Buddha. The resulting wind and fire, fanned by the profound influence of the Buddha, drive us to the intimate enlightenment. This is the merit of non-doing and non-striving and the awakening of the wisdom mind, awakening of perfect wisdom, which has no within or without. We call it limitless wisdom, activity of one mind. Here he says intimate enlightenment. Now this is something new, always you say great enlightenment or highest enlightenment, but then he says intimate enlightenment. Intimate enlightenment. Most intimate one is enlightenment. Most intimate one to you is enlightenment. You understand? Enlightenment is something within you. Or you cannot say within you. If I say within you, it is not intimate enough for you. It is hiding within yourself. So if so, it is not intimate. Of course, if it is something beyond you, that is not intimate. Even if it is something to attain it, it is not intimate. Right? He said, intimate enlightenment. This intimacy to the enlightenment is our practice. When you sit, just sit, you know, breathe deep mind. And that is intimate enlightenment. It is so intimate that you do not realize enlightenment. And that is what he means. Stasi. Stasi, in Japanese, stasi. Stasi friend, good friend. We say good friend, stasi sto, stasi person who is intimate to you. It's stasi sto. It means, you know, intimate friend. And we say also, 親しい中にも礼儀ある。You know? Even though man and wife is intimate, you know? But there must be some rules between them. And that is our way. You may say, if it is intimate relationship,there's no need to have some rules. That is wrong understanding. Because relationship between them is so intimate that it is necessary to set up some rules. So our rules is based on intimate relationship, not to make some harmony between us, but to make our life more meaningful. We set up some rules. It is to observe rules is to be appreciative of the intimate relationship. That is rules. You know? If there is no rule, there is no to enjoy within our relationship. If we want to feel something, then we should have some rules, or at least we should be appreciated through the intimacy. Do you understand? Now this is precepts. So, within a relationship between man and man, or man and woman, or man and nature, there is rules based on the intimate relationship. So, in observing rules, there is no trace of
guru.
Even though there's rules, there's no need to be caught by it, because it is the expression of intimate relationship. It is expression of it. It is not something too necessary to set up because of some harmonious relationship. So when in our practice there is no trace of practice, and there is no shadow of the rules, no trace of rules, and no shadow of rules. To have shadow of rules means I must do this. That is shadow. Sometimes you are scared of the shadow of yourself. That is shadow. We should not have shadow of the rules. Until you do it, that is not rule. When you do it, that is rule. When Buddha did something, that is rule. There is no shadow for the Buddha, or there is no obligation for Buddha. So we should not shadow of the rules or trace of rules. If you do it, that's all. That is the real rule. We should not be caught by what we did, even though it is right. We shouldn't say, what I did was right. We should do in the same way. That means you leave the trace of the teaching, or trace of the precepts. So Dorian then said, fish seem like a fish, bird flies like a bird. That is Buddhist life. Fish seems, but there is no trace. Birds fly, but there is no trace of bird. There is no setup trace for birds. In original Japanese, this part is beautiful sentence. This translation is very good, but and at the same time it is rather difficult to understand. But in your practice, we, you know, repeat lecture after lecture, talking some advantage of Dzogchen practice. So, naturally, you will be naturally, it means I am selling some drugs or sake to you. And you are buying, and you are taking it. This is not so good.
So, you know, actually, it is better to do it, you know, without listening anything, just by the suggestion of the teacher. That is the best way. And you should just stick to the teacher with patience. So pure mind is interpretation of pure mind is a purity of the mind and patient mind. It should be when you study Buddhism, the patience, you know, endurance is absolutely necessary. Because we do not talk about too much about the advantage of Buddhism. Until you find out, we wait. If so, both for the teacher and student, the most important thing is endurance, to wait for the chance which will come between us. If you give up, you will have no chance to understand it in its true sense. Because Buddhism is not some knowledge or intellectual understanding. That is why we say, do not sell Buddhism. Do not sell anything. Do not take anything. Cover your ears and eyes and mouth. And wait for the chance which will come to you. You understand? I cannot talk. You cannot listen. You cannot smell anything. That is how you study Buddhism. That is observation of precepts. So whatever the religion is, the most important thing is a kind of austerity. This element is very important for every religion. I don't know other religions, but the austerity is very important. Let our own policy is not good. When you limit your life to a certain extent, it is easier to find out the truth. If you do too many things, you will be lost in your activity. But if you limit your activity, you can see That is why we observe precepts. The precepts observation is very important.